This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From KMOX Sports.
A swing and there's a high fly ball.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
That's hit to deep left field. It might go. It's a goner.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A goner for Burleson.
Now, live from Jupiter, Florida, and the home of the Cardinals spring training, it's Matt Pauley. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, and Norm's Bargain Barn. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
Indeed, we come your way from Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training officially getting underway today. Players had to be in the clubhouse, specifically pitchers and catchers did, as today was a report day for them. Most of them had already been here, but we saw a lot of position players making their way in, and tomorrow is the first scheduled workout for pitchers and catchers. Might even see some live BP sessions going on. Things are starting to pick up, and that is a very, very good thing. Glad to be able to talk about baseball. This is kind of the final show where we won't have some sort of news, because tomorrow both John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol will hold their first, media sessions, the orchestrated media sessions of spring. So I'm sure we'll get some stuff out of that. And then every day as workouts take place, there's going to be stuff to talk about. So certainly glad to be able to bring everything going on in spring training to you. As always, if you would like to join the program, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, or leave a voice message. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. If you tweet at me, you find me at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or if you're listening on the Odyssey app, you can leave a voice message and that comes right to the studio and we can listen to those as well. So lots of ways to get connected with the program. A reminder for you, we are done a little bit early today. We've got Billikens basketball. Game is going to start in less than an hour at Chaffetz Arena. It is a big, big, big one tonight as the Billikens look for another signature win in A-10 play. They are taking on a George Mason team that is currently in first place in the conference with a 10-1 league record, 19-5 overall. The Billikens come in 14-10, 7-4 in the conference. Stu Durando is going to join us in about 10 minutes to preview this game. But the Billikens looking to bounce back after a tough loss at St. Joseph's this past Friday. The good news, Jacob Sersosimo, our friend over at Channel 4, he tweeted out about a half hour ago that a video of Gibson Jimerson going through activities during pregame. He's moving around. He's shooting. He looks good. So everything that we had been told was that Jimerson, who's banged up, would be a game-time decision. Haven't seen anything official quite yet, but just based off the way he was moving around on the video that I can see from Jacob Sersosimo, I think there's a pretty good chance that Gibson Jimerson is going to play tonight, and that would go a long way towards them coming away with a win. Also, Robbie Avila getting going would go a long way towards getting a win as well. All right, so from a Cardinal standpoint, just a couple things to get to before we get back into SLU basketball. Nolan Arenado's not here yet. That's not a surprise. Full squad workout, the first full squad workout doesn't take place till Monday. And the Cardinals continue to have a desire to trade him. Nothing really has changed. Now, just looking around at different various reports and comments being made by baseball insiders, there seems to be a belief that Alex Bregman is going to sign his deal with whatever team it might be somewhere between 24 and 36 hours. So the next day or 2 days, that should get done. According to some of the insiders out there, we'll see if that actually happens or not. I mean, time is clearly running out. Bregman's got to get his deal figured out and he's got to get to camp and do all those things. And you would assume that at that point, the market for Arenado is going to solidify and we'll know what it's going to look like. If, and I'm kind of repeating stuff I've said over and over, but this continues to be the general narrative that's out there on social media. The belief would be that if Boston doesn't find a third baseman in Alex Bregman, if they don't sign Bregman, well, then there's a very good chance that the Cardinals and the Red Sox will be able to work out a deal. There's been some rumblings on social media, unsubstantiated at this point, but some rumblings out there that essentially a deal is already put together between the Cardinals and the Red Sox, and the Red Sox are just waiting to see if they end up finishing first in the Alex Bregman sweepstakes. So I think it's fair to say, safe to say, that there is a good chance that Nolan Arenado is a Boston Red Sox if Alex Bregman is not. That'd be my first thing. So there's also been some reports out there that the Cubs are considered the leader at this point for Bregman. And if he ends up going to the Cubs, what he's doing is he's taking a much shorter deal than he would like. The Cubs reportedly are offering either a 3 or 4 year deal, where a team like the Astros are in the 5 to 6 range, a team like Toronto, even Detroit, are in the 5 to 6 range. Toronto might even be at 7 based off some of the things that have been said. And he wants the longer deal. Everybody wants a long deal with a high annual average value. I get that. Not a lot of teams out there are willing to give Bregman the long deal that Toronto reportedly has on the table. So if he decides just to go for the high annual average value, that's where a team like the Cubs reportedly can swoop in. The Cubs have a ton of former Astros on that roster now. There was a piece that was written today at ESPN about how those players are trying to do their best to kind of recruit Bregman. So I don't want him to go to the Cubs because he makes the Cubs better, and that's the last thing that I want right now. I think this is a division that is wide open, totally wide open, and I'm not quite sure who the best team in the division is. If Alex Bregman ends up signing with the Cubs, I think there's many reasons to at that point say that the Cubs are the team to beat. I think the Cubs are the betting favorite to win the division right now, but just kind of my standards on where it's at. I look at the Brewers and the Cubs and even the Reds to a certain extent, and I just say, you know what, there's not a whole lot of difference between any of those teams. So that's where we're at. Hopefully when we come on the air tomorrow, we're talking about an Alex Bregman deal, and we can really talk about what's going to happen with Nolan Arenado moving forward. But for now, we continue to remain in neutral. Nothing is going anywhere. We'll jump back into SLU basketball. Stu Durando, who covers the team, he's going to join us coming up in just a moment as we preview what is a huge game tonight for the Billikens. They match up against George Mason. We're back with more in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Overline on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are broadcasting live from Jupiter, Florida, home of Cardinals spring training today. Pitchers and catchers reported tomorrow will be the first workout. And we here at KMOX, between myself and Tom Ackerman, who's going to get here later on, and Mike Claiborne's here, John Rooney, Ricky Horton, they're going to be getting here very soon as well. We've got you covered with all things Cardinals spring training coverage. We also have you covered tonight with Billikens basketball. Our coverage with Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. going to begin in less than 25 minutes. Big game tonight for SLU as they have an opportunity to take on the first place team in the league on their home court. They welcome in George Mason. George Mason 10-1 in the league, SLU 7-4 in league play. And with all that, we're happy to welcome back onto the program. You read him on his Substack at stewonslu.substack.com. He is Stu Durando, who has covered the Billikens for a long time, at Stu Durando on Twitter. Stu, appreciate you taking time with us today. How are you?
Hey, good, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is obviously a big one tonight for the Billikens. First off, from a health standpoint, some of the stuff that I'm seeing on social media, it sounds like Gibson Jimerson might be able to go tonight.
The presumption is that he's going to try. He went through some practice yesterday, and I think Josh Rich wasn't sure what all he was going to be able to do, you know, cutting-wise, jumping-wise, and those types of things. But this is a guy who's played in 146 games in a row, and he's not going to give up his spot easily. So they'll roll him out there. Who knows? I mean, you could get re-injured or whatever, or not be quite as mobile as he usually is. But my guess, and I'm not out at the, I haven't been out by the court for about 20 minutes, so I haven't seen whether he was out there warming up heavily or to what degree. But my hunch is that he's going to go.
Yeah, it sounds like he is warming up. So, but to your point, how aggressive he's warming up is the is the question that we don't have the answer to right now. The number one question when it comes to this team is Robbie Avila and what it's going to take to get him going. And Stuart, it seems like he's been able to impact the team in other ways, but his scoring is way, way down. What's going on and what's it going to take for him to get back going?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Suddenly he's under a microscope, you know, for having three or four subpar games. And they have been subpar. I mean, his scoring is off single digits the last three games. His turnovers are sky high. Who knows, that might be even a bigger problem than his, you know, the scoring and not being able to get the shots he's used to getting because he's facing some defenses that are giving him trouble and isn't particularly been strong with the balls, had it stripped away, thrown bad passes, he's had 20 turnovers in four games, which is, you know, astronomical. And, you know, it's just not something that he does. He's usually a, you know, a 2-to-1 assist to turnover guy. So what's going on with him is probably a lot how defenses are playing him. And I think the solution is a lot about how they solve, you know, going at those defenses, because teams are going to continue to do the same things that have been successful for other teams.
Is there a sense that Atlantic 10 teams are defending him differently than what he saw when he was at Indiana State in the Missouri Valley?
He said that he is, you know, the things they're doing are switching at all five spots, and, you know, he's ending up with guards defending him, and that's giving him trouble. You know, he's getting the ball stripped a lot. He's also being double teamed a lot, and you know, maybe decision making hasn't been good, or his teammates haven't been in positions to help him out as well as they should be. But he said that he's faced, you know, the defenses he's facing now are things that he saw from some teams in the Missouri Valley. So he said he's not unfamiliar with it. It's just how he's been handling it. So he's been trying to watch film, see what he's been doing wrong, or see what he can do better.
The Billikens have played pretty well at home. They've played, they've got some big wins against some of the top teams in the league. But obviously, you match up against a team tonight in George Mason that's 10-1 league play. This is it. We're not building this game up the way maybe we built up that week with the VCU and the dating games. But this is a really, really big game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, some people would argue that even though George Mason's in first place, the VCU's the best team in the conference. Who knows? I mean, sometimes it has to do with your schedule. Your record has a lot to do with your schedule, with an unbalanced schedule as they have in the Atlantic 10. But either way, VCU, George Mason, Dayton are probably three of the top four teams in the conference. And to have beaten VCU had to be a big confidence boost, especially when they lost to them on the road 2 weeks earlier. So this will be a kind of a similar style game with, you know, height and physicality and really strong defense from George Mason. And those are the things that SLU and Robbie Avila are going to have to overcome.
This is a Billikens team that, for the most part this year, has been very good at making plays down the stretch, but they didn't do that against St. Joseph's. It was a game that was relatively close with 4 or 5 minutes to go, and then St. Joseph's was able to just finish them off, and they ended up winning by 13. What do you take away from that? What does this team need to improve upon going from that performance on Friday to what they need to do tonight against George Mason?
Well, they didn't have Jimerson in the second half of that game for the most part. Sure. So that hurt in terms of hanging around, but they were still within, I think, like four with 5 minutes left. I mean, that wasn't a 15 point game down the stretch until late. So yeah, you're right. They've hung around in games sometimes miraculously. You know, the game they won at UMass, that, you know, they managed somehow to keep it close and then be able to, you know, pull off that 40-second spurt at the end of the game to win the game. And they've done the same thing with Richmond and some other games. So they have a knack for keeping games close, even when they're not playing their best. And that's kind of what they have to do, because they feel like they have good closing players and players like Avalon, Swope, and Jimerson, although they haven't played great of late. But as long as they keep it close, they feel like they can win all those games down the stretch.
Last thing for us, Stu Durando covers SLU Billikens Athletics, SLU Billikens men's basketball. St. John's coach Rick Pitino made some waves earlier in the week when he said that the Big East should add a number of teams to try to become a mega conference himself. He mentioned Dayton, he mentioned Memphis, and he also mentioned SLU. Some have scoffed at that idea. I know a lot of SLU fans would love to get into the Big East. You would have some natural rivalries there. You know, Marquette's a Jesuit school in an urban type setting, kind of like SLU is. But is this something that could, you think the Big East would ever really take a look at?
I don't think there's anything simmering right now. I mean, make no mistake, that's what SLU wants to happen. And some people think that, you know, when it didn't happen, whatever, 10 years ago, or that ship has sailed. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. But, you know, the way the college landscape is now, teams on the West Coast being in the ACC and so on and so forth, just anything can happen. So I wouldn't rule it out. I don't think anything's imminent or, you know, impending. But when Rick Pitino talks, people do take notice. So that did get a lot of attention.
Stu Durando does a great job covering the Billikens, now does it independently at stewonslew.substack.com. You need to be reading that, stewonslew@substack.com, at Stu Durando on Twitter. Stu, thanks for taking the time. Enjoy the game, and I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, good deal. Enjoy Florida.
I appreciate it. Here. Thank you. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Thanks, Stu. Bye. Stu Durando joining us here on the program. Yeah, weather is a little bit different. My daughter's school already has been called off for tomorrow. That I'm 42, so I'm not like super old. I'm a relatively young guy. I'll go with at 42. I feel young at 42. When I was in school, it was always waking up in the morning and finding out if your school was canceled. And now it might be. So yeah, we got a text message like 2 hours ago that my daughter's school was canceled for tomorrow. It's helpful in the sense that you don't have to wake up early in the morning, and it helps with planning and things like that, but it's just different. It's an opportunity for me to yell at the clouds for no reason. But when I was in school, and for probably many of you listening, when you were in school, you were never getting off school the night before unless it was really, really, really bad. It was always morning of. And now it just seems like, I mean, there's already a lot of closings coming in. Now it seems like a lot of schools make that decision the night before, which is a little bit of a gamble, by the way, because if all of a sudden the storm doesn't hit the way that the forecasters say that it's going to hit, you can be off school and there might not be a bunch of snow on the ground and traffic might be moving just fine. So there's always that bit of a gamble that goes along with making that call the night before. But yeah, snow in St. Louis, where I'm at in Jupiter, Florida, that is something we do not have to worry about. It was about 80 degrees today. There was some cloud cover today and a little bit of a breeze. So at times, you know, it felt mildly, mildly chilly here in Florida, I say with a wry grin, talking to folks who are going to be dealing with probably a lot of snow here over the next few days. And hopefully the response to it from every municipality is a little bit better than what happened the last time we got it. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll jump back into baseball. It was actually a really busy day in terms of players signing deals. What does that mean for things that could impact the Cardinals? Probably not a whole lot, but we'll go through it nonetheless. And we'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. Just a few minutes left on this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida and Cardinals spring training. So here's what the next 24 hours or so is going to look like here in Jupiter. Guys are going to get back in tomorrow. Pitchers and catchers are going to go through physicals, and then they are going to get out onto the fields for their first official workout. Again, many of those guys have been going through unofficial voluntary workouts over the last few days, but it will become more orchestrated and more official tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we are going to hear for the first time since spring training got underway from both club manager Oliver Marmol and also from the director of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. We will play much of that audio for you on the show tomorrow night, so be tuned in for that. We'll see what they have to say. Obviously, when it comes to Mo, a lot of the conversation is going to be based around where the Nolan Arenado deal is at, and we keep hearing rumblings that Alex Bregman is getting closer and closer to making his decision. So maybe there'll be more of a feeling of what things are going to look like tomorrow, or maybe not. Maybe it's just looking exactly the same way that it's looking right now. But it'll be interesting to talk with them. They made a couple small moves here leading into spring training. It'll be our first time to talk with them since they acquired a couple players. So yeah, that's going to be, it'll be interesting to hear what they have to say coming up tomorrow. And it'll be nice to see the team getting onto the field, doing some things, might have some pitching to live hitters. That's the word with John King and Steven Matz. They might have a live BP session to hitters tomorrow. Lots of hitters are here. Saw J.J. Weatherholt today for the first time. Lucan Baker was here. Lars Nootbaar was here. Jordan Walker was here. Just a bunch of guys, position players, have already arrived, and it's really good to be able to see that. Also was a busy day across baseball, as there's a ton of free agents that are still out there, and these guys would like to get deals. A bunch of them did get deals today. Pitcher Clayton Kershaw, no surprise here. He's going back to the Dodgers. He is going to make somewhere between $5 and $10 million, according to the ESPN report. There's going to be performance bonuses. Now, he's injured right now, and due to foot and knee injuries in November, he is likely not to actually get back onto the field probably till about June or so. But there's a guy the Dodgers bring back, Clayton Kershaw. We'll see what he has left in the tank. Kenley Jansen, he signs a deal with the Angels. He gets a one-year deal worth $10 million. So the Angels have their closer now in Kenley Jansen. The Minnesota Twins, they have agreed to terms with free agent first baseman Ty France. France was an all-star in 2022. Recently hasn't done a whole lot. Reportedly, this deal is not a guaranteed deal, so we'll see if France makes the team with the Twins. The White Sox are bringing in Michael A. Taylor. The Padres, they are signing Jason Hayward. So like I said, there's a bunch of moves happening, and more moves are going to continue to happen. The list of free agents that are available continues to be long. We're at a point now where teams can start placing players onto the 60-day injured list as well. So like for the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw, they sign him. They need the roster spot to sign him, but then they can immediately basically put him onto the injured list. So now that there's going to be more spots available on 40-man rosters, we'll probably see a few more moves being made. Real quickly, I wanted to mention this before we get out of here because this is pretty darn cool. Right now, the NHL and the Blues are on the Four Nations break, and Blues goaltender Jordan Binnington, he is going to be the starting goalie for Team Canada. So it's quite the honor for Jordan Binnington, starting goalie for Team Canada. So congratulations to Jordan Binnington, and it's going to be fun to watch this Four Nations tournament. It's kind of weird to have the NHL just kind of slow down for a little bit, but they do that with the Olympics, and now they're doing that with this Four Nations tournament as well. We've got Billiken's basketball tonight. Don't go anywhere. It is a big one. They've got an opportunity to knock off the top team in the league. George Mason, 10-1 in A-10 play. SLU, 7-4. Sounds likely that Gibson Jimerson will play. The voice of the Billikens, Bob Ramsey, along with Earl Austin Jr. They'll update you on that and have the call of the game, Billikens basketball, on the way next, right here on KMOX.